Grievance Process and Compliance Manager for ESCO Corporation in Northwest Portland. And along with Lloyd, I was one of the co-chairs for this process. And good afternoon, commissioners. Before I present my remarks, there are a long list of people that need to be thanked for this process. And a number of them were already previously alluded to that were city and state staff, facilitators, and consultants. Personally, though, I feel the most thanks should go to the sitting members of the SAC. It is not their job to come to these meetings every single month and wade through all the information. They do it as a voluntary effort and because they like this city and they want to see their communities grow. So, as you have heard, we began this process in September of 2010. It was proposed as a unique process, one that combined a state highway project with a land use and planning project. The area of the study of transportation was between on I-5 just south of the Fremont Bridge to the I-84 interchange, which also included, though, the box area, which is the Broadway-Weidler interchange. We first learned about the issues and what we were trying to solve. A number of the ideas were explored, and there were over 70, as you heard, that were originally arrived at the charrette. There was a lot of discussion amongst all the committee members, and there was also other public testimony. Not every idea was feasible, and there was also discussion of no build. We did not restrict the topic to just the roadway, though. The impacts that were discussed also include the surface mobility, bike and pedestrian movement, urban design, and freeway crossings. Of concern to Eric Lovell and other businesses is maintaining freight access to the lower Albina industrial area, as well as servicing businesses within the Lloyd District. From strictly a safety and freight mobility perspective, the plan does not go far enough. As was pointed out, there is a lot of weaving. Braided ramps could have provided the greatest solution, but quite frankly, it's very expensive and we never could get that funded. We looked at what the best solution was with what we had. The choice that was approved includes adding auxiliary lanes in each direction and moving the on-ramp from Winning Way to the Weidler overpass. The addition of these lanes requires the rebuild of the Flint, Vancouver, and Williams overpasses, and in actuality, the removal of the Flint overcrossing, as well as the Broadway and Weidler overcrossings. A lot of effort went into exploring these structures and what the possibilities were, first to improve safety and multimodal movements, as well as what could be done with the possibility of a lid. I think we have successfully agreed upon the best affordable solution. I urge the commission adopt this plan, and more, I hope that you support funding when that comes up. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll go to you next. Good afternoon, commissioners. I am Gary Warren. I'm executive director of Calaroga Terrace, a 17-story senior community located in the Lloyd District. I'm also president of the Lloyd District Community Association, which is a unique blend of business and neighborhood representation. The LDCA is responsible for looking out for the best interests of both of these constituency groups. The LDCA is excited about the potential of the North-Northeast Quadrant Plan and what the future holds for the Lloyd District. We see the Lloyd District poised to be the next growth area of the city of Portland with huge potential for businesses and residential development. The North-Northeast Quadrant Plan has made great strides to ensure the livability of the district. Studied and planned for are elements from open space, building heights, commercial and residential mixed use, green space, pedestrian, bicycle and vehicular access. Mistakes from the past have been looked at and a great vision for the future created. I personally represent 25% of the residential population of the Lloyd District, all who live at Calaroga Terrace. This puts me in a unique position of not only being a business operator, but also looking out for the needs of a large number of the residents of the Lloyd District. I believe that this plan will create a great balance between economic development, businesses, and residential livability. This has been a long 2-year process to get this plan to the point where it's being presented to the City Council. This was through the hard work of many groups who have contributed to this plan and many compromises that we have all made. As an example, many of the SAC members and planning staff know I have been a major opponent of the Clackamas overcrossing over the course of this process. It was a source of brevity, as promises were made to expand the size, height, length, or purpose of the overcrossing whenever discussions became tense. But like a majority of the SAC members, I recognize the wisdom of the group, and I am taking on good faith that the overcrossing will bring attributes that will far outweigh any concerns that I might have. Implementation Action TR2, Develop and Revise Parking Management Strategies, specifically addresses my concerns. This is particularly through event parking issues and flexible options that are being studied. I want to thank the staff, ODOT, and the City of Portland for the opportunity to participate in this process, and we look forward to the positive results that the North Northeast Quadrant Plan will bring to the Lloyd District. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir?
I'm Wade Lang, Vice President at Langley Investment Properties, formerly Ashford Pacific. Commissioners, as a longtime employee within the Lloyd District and a native Portlander, I want to first thank you for the opportunity to have a voice in the future growth and development of our city. The citizen involvement, as has been stated already, was truly a key component to the successful outcome of the Northeast Plan. The Lloyd District was correctly identified as having the greatest potential for future development within the central city. Even before the North-Northeast Plan is adopted, plans for higher density residential growth in the heart of the district moves forward, as does the Convention Center Hotel and, of course, the opening of the streetcar on the east side. The plan created by the Stakeholders Advisory Committee truly fits hand in glove with these new developments. The North-Northeast Plan lays out a vision and a roadmap for the future growth of the east side. This growth will bring jobs and economic vitality to the east side while simultaneously creating vibrant community full of opportunities for both residents and businesses. The plan recognizes the critical importance transportation plays in our future growth and has brought together all the elements of a full-service transportation network that has identified both the business and residential needs of the district. And finally, as a board member of the Lloyd Eco District, the North-Northeast Plan has identified the unique opportunity of future development, which is in lockstep with the creation of highly sustainable community that will enhance the vitality and livability of business and residents within the heart of the city. And I look forward to participating in making the vision a reality. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Commissioners, Matthew Arnold, still a member and until term limited a few weeks ago, the chair of the city's Bicycle Advisory Committee. As you know, designing a local street network in the context of an urban freeway interchange is incredibly challenging, but thanks to the efforts of your city staff, of ODOT, of all the members of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee and the general public in a well-designed and inclusive process, we have here two plans before you that our committee, the Bicycle Advisory Committee, wholeheartedly supports. What we like best about the Northeast Quadrant Plan and its associated facility plan is that they will enable a redundant bikeway network that will embody the goals of the recently adopted bicycle plan, Portland Bicycle Plan for 2030. Not only will these bikeway network improvements benefit strong and fearless and probably in my case insane riders, they'll also provide safe, comfortable, and appealing bike connections for those interested, concerned, and frankly vulnerable riders like my mother and my daughter. The one caveat the Bike Advisory Committee has is that in order to make these promises valid for bike safety and to attract increased ridership, the bikeway network in these plans must be built out in its entirety. And to that end, the Bicycle Advisory Committee looks very forward to working with you all, with city staff, with ODOT, on the careful implementation of these plans, as well as any near-term safety improvements that can be adopted. And since I have just another moment, and it's probably my last time testifying before this council, Mayor Adams, I'm glad you came back, because on behalf of the Bike Advisory Committee, we'd like to thank you for your leadership these last several years, both as mayor and as transportation commissioner, in forwarding not only the bike plan for 2030, but the larger bike movement here in Portland. So thank you.
Thank you very much. They all talk?
Yes,
they're all there. All right, thank you all very much. I'll look on the replay for what you had to say. So Mr. Lindley's going to go last, right? Okay, then we move to the sign-up sheet.
Oh, excuse me. We have two other members of the...
Oh, wait, please come forward then.
Mike Ward and Justin.
Oh, yes, they are on the list. Sorry, Mike Arnold and Justin Zillmer. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Justin Zellner. I'm the Senior Director of Sustainability and Public Affairs for the Rose Quarter and the Portland Trailblazers. And I served on the Strategic Advisory Committee of the North Northeast Quadrant Plan. It is with great pleasure that I come here today, not only as an official representative of the Rose Quarter and the Portland Trailblazers, but as a proud member of a group of stakeholders that was convened to help steer the future of our quadrant and our great city. When we first started this journey, I assumed I wasn't the only one that worried a little that a group of over 30 stakeholders, private and public sectors, transit authorities, diversity and ecology experts, residents, neighbors, and many others might have a difficult time finding mutual ground or even moderate consensus when discussing long-term vision, land use, zoning, transportation, greenways, and freeways. However, not only did we accomplish these goals, this process resulted in spirited collaboration. Not only should the members of this advisory group be thanked for their dedication and determination, we should recognize that this collaboration would not have been possible without the willingness of our public partners to embrace a different approach. In fact, groundbreaking and historic. For the first time, the City of Portland and ODOT working together to define visions and set goals. This alone deserves recognition. But they did go one step further, and they sought the input and direction from our stakeholder group prior to making any plans. We hope that this is an indication of how the process for effective and smart planning will be in the future. I want to take a moment to reflect on this plan and how it connects with the Rose Quarter and the adjacent properties around our sports entertainment campus. From the beginning of this process, it was made clear and quickly became one of our main goals to ensure that any future planning efforts would not only protect and enable current business activities in the Lloyd District in the quadrant, but set the stage for businesses to thrive in the future. This included and specifically listed the large episodic attractors of our quadrant that help drive and support our local economy, the Lloyd Center, the Oregon Convention Center, and the Rose Quarter. To meet long-term, this plan enables the Rose Quarter to meet long-term development goals while ensuring current business operations are preserved. Additionally, this plan furthers our connection to the rest of the Lloyd District, the Willamette River, Albina, and to our vital neighborhoods, Elliott, Irvington, and Sullivan's Gulch. An enhanced freeway could easily divide our community, but this plan mitigates these impacts and enhances our connections with additional bikeways, improved pedestrian environments, non-motorized crossings such as the Clackamas Ped Bike Bridge, and adds more green spaces. Furthermore, the plan embraces the earlier Rose Quarter master planning work that had been put together, which includes a focus in and around the Broadway corridor adjacent to our campus. Along with the rest of the Rose Quarter, this will become an important future urban destination, economic driver, and gateway to East Portland. This committee spent a fair amount of time discussing this area, specifically related to the proposed building height allowances. Staff worked closely with our committee to ensure that while the plan allows for maximizing the potential development for this area, it also balances the future development with open spaces, enhancing community activation. As a member of the advisory committee and stakeholder for the Rose Quarter and Lloyd District, I'm proud of these compromises and the ensuing result of these discussions. In summary, this plan enables the vision of the Rose Quarter and the surrounding area to become a reality. Lastly, I want to comment on the inclusion of environmental elements to our quadrant and to the larger Portland plan. While the plan ensures we secure a thriving business climate and enhanced neighborhoods, we also call for aggressive sustainability goals related to environmental stewardship. We all want our community to be a place where we are proud to work and live. During this process, I recall hearing similar statements like that made during the meetings and by several stakeholders, and we made sure that this plan incorporates these visions. As this plan becomes adopted and rolled into the larger Portland plan, we look forward to continuing work with the city, ODOT, and the rest of our community stakeholders to activate our shared vision. Additionally, I would like to note that the recommendation in front of you is from the SAC. The Strategic Advisory Council and Committee were the ones that authorized this to be brought to your attention. And one of the things that we talked about, and this is something that I cited, was that if substantive changes were to be asked by council today with you, Commissioner Fritz, your request is that we take an opportunity to re-engage the SAC to have a conversation about what that means. Because I do want you to recognize that while staff presented this plan, it's the SAC that actually put that together. So appreciate your time today.
Did the SAC have any discussions about making sure that we don't displace as a way of, as part of this plan?
Yeah, we went through a lot of discussion about both the historical diversity of this area and what sort of transpired over the last, you know, several decades. But we also took a lot of time and you know, it's easy to kind of start talking about freeway impacts because it's something we can all relate to. And these things are more, a little bit more difficult. And this committee spent many of those 38 plus meetings that, you know, that I went to talking about that very thing. And housing is a big concern for all of us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, Mike Warwick. I was a representative from the Elliott Neighborhood Association on the SAC. I'm also the Elliott Land Use Chair, so I was also a representative of Elliott as well as being from Elliott. And I came here, I guess, to paraphrase, to praise Caesar, but Caesar has been praised enough, I think. So I'm going to point out some of the concerns that Elliott raised in its support of the plan, one of which goes to the point you just raised, Amanda, which is our concern about the Elliott overcross or the Hancock overcrossing. Those of you who have been through the Elliott neighborhood know that the historic core of it is very small and fragile. Turning Hancock into essentially a bypass for Broadway would basically aim a fire hose of traffic through that neighborhood, which would basically destroy it. It is the last remnant of the Albina community, and we would like to see it protected. There are words in the plan that do so, and I'd like to reinforce that those be acknowledged as best we can. We say in the plan, and the city adopted that at our suggestion, that the Hancock overcrossing traffic be absolutely mitigated to protect the neighborhood, which in you couldn't see it in the plans you had up there, had physical barriers to prevent through traffic. So it will allow some circulation, but it will not allow it to become a throughway. And that's probably about as good as we can expect. We like the idea of having a connection to the other side of the freeway. We are also supportive of potentially looking at some other options. And that goes to a second concern we had, which is a pretty major concern. And that does have to do with the cost and disruption associated with the improvements that are proposed and the duration it'll take to get from here to there. If the freeway improvements that are proposed could be done instantly, I think there'd be a lot of support for this plan. But we're looking at a process that'll probably take at least 10 years to complete. That's a long time. It will require the demolition of the traffic routes on Vancouver, Williams, Broadway, and Widler, as well as Flint, which will be hugely disruptive of the connectivity of north-northeast Portland to the rest of downtown. The construction process alone is expected to take 3 to 5 years, during which the development that one would be hoping to have in the Rose Quarter and in the Blanchard Block will probably be delayed while this construction gets completed. Postponing redevelopment in that area for 10 years seems like an awful high price to pay for the prevention of some fender benders on the freeway, in our opinion. Another issue that is associated with that is the sense of priority of the streetscape improvements versus the freeway improvements. The plan essentially assumes these will be coupled because the funding is tied to federal funding for the freeway. Right now, the lives and limbs of Portland citizens are being threatened daily as they try to bike and cross the streets in Broadway in the vicinity of Wheeler and Flint. Thankfully, as Mr. Mayor, you intervened to prevent some of that by putting up the temporary barriers at Wheeler to prevent a right-hand turn off of Wheeler that has been a cause of a great number of pedestrian and bike accidents. What we would like to see, and we have been working very closely with the city and ODOT, which is one reason we're strongly supportive of this plan, is to give them some additional resources to implement some of the suggestions that are in this plan sooner rather than later, specifically connecting, diverting Flint so that it connects to Dixon in the near term, which would allow us to abandon Flint and that intersection at Broadway, which would really clean that area up, cleaning up the sweep that's off of the exit off of I-5 southbound, and potentially signalizing Wheeler for pedestrians so that people who are now risking life and limb to run across the street between the Paramount apartment building and the left bank have at least some modicum of protection from traffic. And that is pretty much concludes my comments, I think, at that point. If you have any questions about any of that, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you both very much. Now I'd like to call up Planning Commissioners Smith and Hansen. Welcome back. How many more people are signed up?
Seven.
I'll start out. I'm Don Hansen, volunteer on the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission. I'm here on behalf of our chair, Andre Baugh, who is on the beach somewhere. and since he's on the beach, he doesn't know what I'm going to say, which is interesting. Sent a letter to council October 5th that summarized the hearing we had on September 25th. Rather than read that, I'll just paraphrase a few points, because I'm assuming it's in your record. At our meeting, we voted to support the quadrant plan, 8-0. We voted to support the ODOT facility plan, 7-1. So we really had strong support for this. We heard from the SAC. We heard from the public. We heard from staff during briefings on the public hearing. Everybody was pretty complimentary of the effort. The process was good, and I think the plan itself, the product, is very good. The urban design component of it is creative. Linking across I-5 is a great idea. I wish we could have done it long ago. When we were building the Rose Garden, it would have been good. But it's time to do it, to really unify that neighborhood. Besides being creative, the plan is very pragmatic. When I look at the work that staff did with ODOT, I'm really impressed. It's clever. They've taken an urban interchange and improved the safety factors on that, improved the circulation without broadening the land take. And usually in the old days when you wanted to improve an interchange, you bought more land. But they've made this fit on the surface streets and fit in the envelope that they have right now. And I think the improvements they propose are significant. So I think that's another positive aspect of this effort. The last thing I'll mention is just the collaboration that people have already talked about. I'll just say reinforce how important that is between the city and ODOT. As we intensify and get more density in our city, in all the inner city neighborhoods, this collaboration is going to be even more important. We've got a whole bunch of these situations, not just Portland. A lot of other cities and towns have them too. So I'm very encouraged by the collaboration. They came to our hearing together. They presented together. Good dialogue. So that's all I wanted to relay. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate your service. Commissioner.
Chris Smith, member of the Planning and Sustainability Commission. I was the lone dissenting vote. And while I'm a team player and I'm going to support the recommendation of our commission.
I've come up here with him, by the way. Just
he has
he's here to make
close,
sure I don't stray too far.
Close
sure.
Within reach.
So I do support a recommendation, but I want to explain the reason for my dissent, because I think it may influence how this project plays out and certainly how we think about future projects. First, I was happy to join the unanimous commission in supporting the quadrant plan. I believe very much in the urban design and land use vision. It's the freeway facility plan that I have some trouble with. And I have 2 points that caused me to vote against it, but I do want to say there's a lot to like here. The fact that the land use and transportation planning were done together. The fact that the focus was on safety as the driving criterion, and the attention to safety on the surface streets are things that I support very deeply. My problem was in the choice of how safety was addressed. My first problem was with that. The question was, could we do this strictly with TDM and TSM measures, or did we have to go to adding lanes? And the conclusion by the project team was that there's enough latent demand in this area that if you simply do TDM, any traffic you move off the freeway will be replaced from the latent demand. The challenge I have with that is based on the assumptions in the regional transportation plan, which is the only detailed traffic model we have. But our climate action plan assumes a level of vehicle miles traveled substantially lower than the RTP model does. Unfortunately, we don't have a detailed model. You know, we have a citywide goal for vehicle miles traveled in the climate action plan. We can't tell you, you know, on this freeway segment that translates to this much reduction. So the planners don't have a tool to evaluate against our aspirations. But you know, my concern was that we're going to invest $400 million and not know if it's in conformance with our climate aspirations. That's a problem for me. The second point was really on cost benefit in general and the idea of that the Portland plan has of aligning spending across all the jurisdictions that provide services in the city of Portland. $400 million for 1 mile of freeway is an extraordinary amount of money. And you know, if I try and compare that against other needs in the city, you know, our pavement backlog now stands at 600 miles, and there was not a dollar value in the last PBOT. Well, it's not an infrastructure plan for PBOT in the last budget documents. Mayor, maybe you have a number, but I suspect that $400 million would probably wipe it out. I know it would build a lot of.
And the next time the federal government gives money for maintenance, you can
right.
make that.
Well, I understand.
Until then, you're limited to your federal dollars, you're limited to capital. You know
that. I understand that. But my point is that we have lots of needs around the city, and I don't think there's good policy alignment if we're funding something of this magnitude in one place before we can organize the funding for the various needs around the city. So that's a secondary point. My primary one was the alignment with the Climate Action Plan. So that's the reason I voted no, and I wanted you to understand the logic. Thank you.
Thank you both. All right, we will go to the sign-up sheet.
The first four people, please come on up, are Lee Perlman, Bernie Bottomley, Mike Dowd, and Betsy Reese.
Hi, welcome.
My name is Lee Perlman, active member of the Elliott Neighborhood Association. Mr. Warwick spoke for the group. I'm speaking for myself, and largely I'm here to reinforce one point that he made. In this and other recent projects, we have seen some acknowledgement and apologies about things that have been done in that neighborhood in the past. It's a little bit annoying to see that and then say, and then we've got one more for you to absorb, in this case, the Hancock overcrossing, which has a strong potential to have a really negative impact on what's left of our residential area. There's been talk of traffic calming. That assumes it can be done effectively. It assumes it can be done without shifting the problem to other streets. It assumes that, as in the past history includes promises broken and things that fell off projects because of value engineering. It is a little insulting to have it implied that this is being done for our benefit, frankly. And I will give you a sense of my own values. In people who live on a street, people who do business there, people who own property, people who work there, people who do charity there, I think their needs come before those who spend a few seconds a day by any mode of transportation passing through.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Mr. Bottomley?
Bernie Bottomley with the Portland Business Alliance. Lee, if you're misquoted in the paper, you know who to blame.
Yep.
Yeah. I just want to echo the comments of a lot of the folks that have spoken before. This is an incredibly complicated and difficult area of the city from a transportation and land use perspective. There's also a tremendous amount of opportunity here. I think the city staff did a terrific job of working with a very large and very engaged group of stakeholders. I think we ought to compliment ODOT in particular for their approach to this project. I have been around the city for 30-plus years working on transportation issues. I can't remember an example of when ODOT has taken such a integrated approach to looking at one of their facilities, you know, a state facility that's really designed for through traffic, and analyzing that project in terms of its setting and the roads and streets around it that feed into it, that go over it, that come off of it. So I think it's a great model and one that we should really encourage ODOT to continue to pursue as we move forward. The Alliance is very supportive of the land use strategy. We think that area holds great potential. The city's and the region's most powerful environmental tool is densifying the central city, using the infrastructure that's here as effectively as we possibly can. That means making some trade-offs. And one of your previous speakers talked about a pragmatic plan, and I think this is a pragmatic plan and one that, you know, not everybody is going to be happy with every element of it, but it's an incredibly complicated set of streets and landscape that it'd be hard to find an example of a solution that would solve every problem, short of, you know, spending billions and billions of dollars. We do support the expansion of the freeway in that location, not only because it helps the flow of traffic in that area, but also through that area. That's one of the feed-in corridors to the Port of Portland, which handles the vast amount of exports out of this region. And as a trade-dependent state, that's incredibly important to us. So compliments all around. We look forward to carrying this process on as we move to the west side now. And we think that model of consensus that we were able to build in the north-northeast quadrant is one that will serve us well for the rest of the city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Betsy Reese, co-owner of the Paramount Apartments located at Broadway Flint Wheeler. Please accept this plan. The Rose Quarter area has been held hostage and moribund for the last two decades due to the lack of agreement on a plan for the ever-looming possible future expansion of I-5. Having this plan in place will finally free the city to begin making local improvements to vitalize this area. Of top priority should be the pressing traffic safety fixes. The several block Broadway Widler area near I-5 is notoriously dangerous for bicyclists and pedestrians. I have been watching traffic mayhem at the intersection of Broadway Flint and Wheeler from our front doorstep at the Paramount Apartments and pressing PBOT for traffic engineering changes for the last 14 years. Out of 22,000 intersections in the city of Portland, it ranks in the top five each year for bicycle motor vehicle collisions, and this past summer, we had four bicyclists injured seriously enough to be transported via ambulance to the hospital. On June 26th, all of the key bicycle and pedestrian advocacy groups came together with city and state transportation representatives to ask for these safety changes now. ODOT immediately stepped up and began work in August to do the one part that is under their jurisdiction, the removal of the I-5 slip ramp. Special thank you to Andy Johnson and others for that. On August 2nd, the Stakeholder Advisory Committee added their collective voice by unanimously voting to include in this plan the recommendation that safety-related surface street improvements be done now and irregardless of freeway work or funding. Thank you to the SAC members and especially Phil Sellinger of the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition who introduced that resolution. On August 22nd, the City of Portland made the controversial and brave move to close Wheeler to right turns from Broadway. Special thank you to Mauricio LeClerc and Greg Raceman of PBOT, Steve Awada of BPS, members of the SAC, Jonathan Moss of BikePortland.org, who kept the pressure on, the four injured cyclists who did their part, all the others who got this done, and especially thank you, Mayor Adams, not just for the decisive move, but for bearing the brunt of the blame for this. We support this emergency measure as a quick fix that, without exaggeration, may be saving a life there today. But it does not come close to addressing all the bicycle and pedestrian safety issues here, and unfortunately, it just adds to the confusion and chaos and the road rage and blame that results. Additionally, it closes off important access for certain businesses and residences And it is not a part of this plan. It is directly counter to this plan, which was so extensively publicly vetted. This plan fixes our intersection. We cannot wait 5, 10, or more years, or until never, for the freeway work to make these changes. And we cannot wait for a fatality. Please fix our intersection now, and as a first step, please signalize Broadway, Flint, Wheeler. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Carl, if you could. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Mike Dowd of Dowd Architecture. I'm speaking on behalf of my clients, Strymer Sheet Metal Works. Carl Lyle sort of took the wind out of the sails of my presentation by agreeing with me before I had a chance to talk, but I can live with that.
There are worse things that could happen to you. Right?
Yeah. I'll summarize the main issues from Steve Strymer's letter. Strymer Sheet Metal was founded in 1946 and moved to their current location on North Knott in 1958. They employ over 280 employees, including 90 on their full block on North Russell, plus other properties on three adjacent blocks. We were extremely concerned about the proposed rezoning of Strymer's properties from IG1 to EX. No, I don't think anybody realized the problems involved until just recently. EX does allow industrial use, so it was a logical zone to propose to change to, but that's where the similarities between EX and IG1 end. EX zoning would prohibit two of the activities most important to Strymer Sheet Metal: outdoor work activities and outdoor storage. It would also instantly make half of the more than a half block of their property non-conforming, meaning any new development would trigger mandatory non-conformant upgrades, which means an instant 10% increase to the cost of every project they do there. The development standards of EX are also dramatically different than in IG zoning, and in Strymer's case, that would make the plan actually backfire and create impacts that are the exact opposite of the goals of the plan. I could give you lots of examples if you wanted them. Fortunately, there's a great solution, which Carl mentioned, of leaving the IG1 zoning but changing the comprehensive plan to EX. We really appreciate his being flexible when we brought up the issues, and doing that would be a win-win solution for everybody. So I ask you to alter the plan to allow the changes that Carl suggested. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you all very much.
The next three are Boris Raganovich, Patty Tillett, and Emma Colburn.
Anybody else wish to testify? We have one more seat. Testimony will be closed after this. Would you like to begin?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. Hi. I bring words of caution when it comes to the pedestrian improvements coming to the Lloyd District. Many of what we're trying to create in the Lloyd District is a reason for pedestrians to linger, and that's really the vitality of the district. Sure, the improvements for transportation safety surrounding it can be judged on their own merits. But as a pedestrian district, what one needs for vitality is short blocks, short store frontages, and realistically slow-moving traffic that accommodates, I mean, particularly in off-peak hours, when you have not too much in the way of bottlenecking, you want your traffic to move slowly so that pedestrians feel cozy and comfortable. And in no way did we see that in the zoning overlay for the Rose Quarter, how you would create these short store frontages, these short city blocks, and potentially even two-way traffic on Broadway and Wheeler that would encourage this slow-moving traffic in off-peak hours. I mean, right now, Even if you get the light across the street, it's not a cozy experience as a pedestrian. You wait, and eventually the one-way traffic yields and you're able to cross the street. And the proposal for Wheeler is a street that to a pedestrian is not particularly interesting. You have the building setbacks. You need your buildings to meet the street and the sidewalk, and we don't really see that. And it's just a concern of mine I wanted to bring up before we spend all this money to change our city. We should spend it in a way that's actually going to be successful. And I come here merely as a concerned citizen because this is a lot of money to spend without an expected result.
Well, are you an architect or a planner?
I'm an engineer.
Okay. I figured. Thank you for your testimony. We really appreciate it. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Emma Colburn. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak before you. Since I was born and raised in Portland, since moving back here in 2009, I've tracked and testified this process, and I'm happy to see that the plan does not, well, okay. So I think I've finally waded through all of the, like, URACs and SACs, and at first I was like, what the heck is this all about? I don't understand.
Acronyms, because we could maybe put in just a few more.
I've finally dredged through. I think I'm starting to get it. So I'm pleased to see that the Broadway and Widler development doesn't include further demolition, at least as far as I could tell from the plan, doesn't include further demolition of the historic buildings in the region. However, the history of eminent domain and displacement that color this neighborhood, is that history is still not erased, and the inequities that still affect our community as far as education and healthcare, in specifically looking at African American community compared to standards and demographics in the white community, still affect us, and that's still something that we have to really, I think, come to the table with. So we talk a lot, and it was mentioned today, we talk a lot about environmental stewardship, green biking, I ride my bike, that's great, but we often talk less about historical stewardship, and maybe that's because it's a fragile topic, especially when racial conventions that we might wish weren't part of our history are still part of the conversation, and they are part of our history, and they should be part of our conversation directly, and I know that race is like a super touchy topic, but I think we need to talk about it directly. I wanted to thank Mike Warwick for his testimony about the efforts to preserve the Elliott neighborhood. And I just kind of want to further those a little bit. I noticed that the language to me is not quite specific enough. It says encourage preservation of remaining culturally significant structures rather than something like preserve remaining culturally significant structures. I'm not an urban planner. I work for the school district, and I'm an artist. So I'm not an urban planner, but I do know enough about 2010 census statistics to know that the urban renewal corridors create displacement. Between 2000 and 2010, property values in the interstate urban renewal, does that mean I'm, like, done?
Almost. You have 26 more seconds.
Okay. Yeah. Between 2000 and 2010, property values in the interstate urban renewal corridor rose by $100,000. And in the same decade, 1 in 5 African Americans moved out of that neighborhood. And this is one of the highest rates of displacement in the country, second to Seattle. So basically, there are no anti-displacement strategies in this plan that I've seen. And I think that that's a really huge problem. And I don't like to name a problem without giving a solution. So please talk to me about creating historical tourism map. Heritage tourism maps on the region, which dovetails on what you just said. You were talking about how the neighborhood is not welcome friendly.
Have you looked at or gotten in touch with the Dill Pickle Club?
Yes, actually. Right. I mean,
They're doing exactly that. They would, I'm sure, love your interest and enthusiasm.
Mayor, before you close testimony, maybe now would be the time for me to introduce my amendment.
Wouldn't have you seat.
Anybody
you
else
appreciate
wants
your testimony?
To testify on it. I passed out an amendment, which I believe is entirely in the spirit of what the discussions
come
have
on
been.
Come on up.
The best of the last.
You go ahead and introduce your amendment. I recognize you. Lloyd will come up.
Thank you. This is entirely in the spirit of what the discussions have been and would be a direction to the Bureau of Planning consistent with what's in the plan. And the amendment is to introduce an additional whereas. So whereas there is a history of gentrification and displacement in the North Northeast Quadrant Plan area, also to introduce another, be it resolved, that the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability will evaluate whether requirements as well as bonus incentives should be applied when intensification in zoning designations or heights map changes are made so that all new residential development will include a range of housing affordability.
Second. And just so I know, the legislative intent is to look at bonuses and affordable housing. It could be other things than height.
Right, but also to look at requirements as well as bonuses.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on council? Hearing none. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion to amend?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Thank you for bringing this forward, Amanda. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Appreciate it. Aye. Mr. Lindley, you get the final testimonial word.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. As you can see, it was not a walk in the park. It was not a simple process, but we have consensus. Everyone gave to this process, and I think it was one of the best processes in my 30-plus years of public work that I've ever been involved in. So kudos to everyone that made that happen. It's the first step in the Central City Plan, so we're the kind of the guinea pig or those or the first process that others will be judged by, and it's on the way to a new Central City Plan, the Central City 2035. And we're looking to create livability, a robust district that reflects the values and the aspirations of the neighborhood and its citizens. Three achievements that I want to call attention to. The first is clear recommendations for balancing urban design, land use, and regional local transportation throughout the quadrant. The second is a productive and fruitful partnership between the city and ODOT, and I can't emphasize what others have talked about, bringing ODOT together and really focusing on urban design and the urban aspects of the project. And then the creation of a planning and public involvement model that can be replicated with contextual adjustments for the next three quadrants. I'd like to thank the participants, staff, and the design team, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, PBOT, ODOT, and I think instead of going into a lot of detail there, I just think this is a great model for the future and for the other quadrants. I think we've broken new ground in bringing ODOT in as a partner in that the entire central city has federal highways within it, 405 and I-5 in particular, and their adjacent interchanges. I'd like to recognize Sam Imperati for his creative public involvement. We could not have gotten where we are without his work. The consultant team and our stakeholders advisory committee. The process was new to me in a way, in that it was consensus driven and it used straw polling to manage the debates and the focus of the conversation. It created time management, clear consensus, and enabled minority reports, which you'll find in the back of our recommendations. The Stakeholder Advisory Committee recommends recommendations memorandum provides an overview and key outcomes with the SAC conclusions recommendations. I would like to talk about three items of emphasis or three achievements that I think it's going to require City Council support for. The first has to do with the edges that pose special challenges between the central city and the surrounding neighborhoods. And it was not easy, but we found amicable and design-based solutions that will help the Design Commission and the Landmarks Commission, who will both be involved in decisions around those edges to maintain the livability and the character of those neighborhoods. The second is perhaps the toughest, and that is implementation of the east-west open space spine. Open space, as we know, is very difficult. We saw what it took in the Pearl District for Jamison Square, North Park Square, and the fields. Also the park blocks in South Waterfront, and it will be critical to the identity, livability, and envisioned residential neighborhood of the Lloyd District to have those in place to make sure that we can get those developed. And lastly, while preserving transit, automobile freight circulation, pedestrian and bicycle connections will provide greater access between Laurel, Bina, Mississippi, and the Rose Quarter. And with the City and ODOT collaboration, we will see a lid on I-5 from Widler to Hancock. This provides a way to knit the community back together. We've heard that a lot from the African-American community. We've heard that culturally. We've heard that from a historic perspective. And by placing the lid over I-5, creating the Clackamas connection, we will begin to enable these neighborhoods to knit themselves back together and get to the Willamette River, enjoy the asset that the rest of the central city has. There are minority reports at the end of our recommendations, and at this time I'd like to read the SAC final recommendations to the council. The SAC recommends to the City Council that they accept the ODOT facility plan and the city's draft northeast quadrant plan package. The SAC also strongly urges council to support the City of Portland and ODOT to take immediate action to prioritize seek funding for and address the most pressing safety concerns that have been identified. Both ODOT and the city staff have begun implementing safety measures for bicyclists, pedestrians at the Broadway-Widler interchange. They need your support to seek sufficient funding to continue this work. And I think you've heard today from other testimony how important this is. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to serve the city and to help shape the future of this district in Portland. One other thing is Eric Lovell, who can't be here today, is with Uroboros Glass and was an active member and represents the industrial users in Laurel, Albina. He provided a letter support for the project, but like many others, he has some concerns on follow-through, and so I'd like to call that to your attention as well.
Thank you, and thanks for your great work on this. Appreciate
thanks.
It very much.
Thank you.
Carla, please call the vote.
Mm-hmm. Leonard?
Well, clearly this was a very thoughtful process. It included a lot of cooperation, multi-agencies, different jurisdictions, and various interests in the community. So I appreciate very much the work, and happy to vote aye.
Fritz?
I also appreciate the very thoughtful process, and particularly combining transportation and land use planning into one project. Obviously, the citizens, the stakeholder advisory committee has done amazing work, as have the staff on this project, and the community stepping up and embracing yet more changes in this area and looking always hopeful to the future. Aye.
Fish?
Special thanks to everyone who took time today to come and testify, to city staff, to ODOT's team, to our consultant team, and to the advisory committee in particular. This is a organic document, so we're embracing it as something more than a concept, but less than something locked into concrete. But if its great value will be, it will guide a number of critical actions that we take over the next 5 to 10 years. And I was struck today by not only the incredible breadth and depth of this report, but the quality of the testimony came before us, both in favor and including some concerns were raised. So thanks again for all the feedback, and Joe, in particular, to your team, congratulations. Aye.
Seltzman?
Well, thanks to everybody who's been involved, Mayor Adams also, for your leadership. I think this is a great, it sounds like it's been a great process. A lot of people have agreed on much of this plan. Although I do share some of the concerns expressed today about the Hancock-Dixon overpass or through area, whatever you call it, in terms of bringing increased congestion. So I would want to see how we're going to make that an appropriate type of street that will speak to the needs of the near-end neighbors. Because I can only imagine if Hancock Street were to be a through street east of 16th, of the same magnitude, that that would cause a lot of people to be very concerned about it. So I think we need to make sure we have traffic circles, other calming devices on the western portions of Hancock as if we go through with the Dixon overpass, as we do on eastern portions of northeast Hancock. I think that I appreciate ODOT's really working with our people. This is a really sort of a new chapter of, I think, of collaboration, and it's great. As somebody mentioned, it's nice to see improvements without taking up more land, which has kind of always been sort of the historical axiom of how improvements get made in freeways. And then finally, you know, I should have probably picked up on this sooner. I just was thumbing through the minority opinions, since I wasn't really aware they were there until Lloyd mentioned them. And I saw Bob Salinger's concerns from the Audubon Society, and I guess I really want to echo something, I think, similar to we just passed an amendment speaking to having affordable housing integration being part of maybe a density bonus. I think we also really ought to take a good look at bird-friendly building designs, too, and making that part of some sort of a bonus. We know that we're talking about a lot of height under our fondest aspirations, and we know that I've learned over the last several years that, you know, buildings kill birds, reflections and windows. So, and I know birds are near and dear to a lot of us. So I'd like to see, and I will revisit this, not only in this quadrant plan, but in the future quadrant plans to make sure that we take a closer look at that type of an issue and how we might weave that into our sort of height bonus strategy. Otherwise, good work to everybody. Please vote aye.
Adams.
Well, in the course of 7 months, the City Council has adopted a new strategic plan for the city with the Portland plan, completed the basis of the comp plan that will implement that. The East Side reference document, the Central City concept plan, and now the North Northeast concept plan. If they look tired, it's because they are. That's a lot of work, and I want to thank you, Joe Zender, our chief planner, and your entire team for making this happen. We've got a great local ODOT crew, and I want to underscore the thanks to you all as well and all the work and concern on safety all over the system that we share here in the United States, here in Portland. I wish you were in charge of the United States freeway system, but no, here in Portland. And I'd like to thank my staff, Lisa Libby and her team in the mayor's office for their work on this as well. I'm very, very pleased to vote aye. So approved, we are adjourned.